ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading this morning in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. And we have text number 29 this morning. So say after me. Matprana Vakshanam Ananta Pituhu Vadahacha Manye Swabritya Ishivakyam Pritam Vidatum Katgam Pratgriha Yat Avochat Asat Viditsu Tvam Ishvaraha Madhaparaha Avatu Kam Parami. Mat prana rakshana mananta piturvadascha.
Mat prana rakshana mananta piturvadascha.
Manye svapritya ishivakya mritam vidatu.
Manye svapritya ishivakya mritam vidatu.
Khatgam pravishya yadalocchara sadviditsu.
Khatgam pravishya
Swam Ishvaro Maraparo Vatukam Harami.
Swam Ishvaro Maraparo Vatukam Harami.
Mat prana rakshana mananta piturvadascha.
Mat prana rakshana mananta piturvadascha.
Manye svabhritya ishivakya mritam vidatu.
Manye svabhritya ishivakya mritam vidatu.
Katkam pravishya yaravocchara sadviditsu.
Katkam pravishya yaravocchara sadviditsu.
Svam ishvaro maraparo vatukam maharmi harami.
Svam ishvaro maraparo
Matprana rakshana mananta piturvadascha.
Matprana rakshana mananta piturvadascha.
Manye svabhritya ishivakya mritam vidatu.
Manye svabhritya ishivakya mritam vidatu.
Khadgam pravishya yadavocchara sadviditsu.
Khadgam pravishya yadavocchara
Svam Ishvaro Maraparo Vatukam Harami.
Svam Ishvaro Maraparo Vatukam Harami.
Matrana
Rakshana Mananta Piturvadascha.
Swam Ishvaro Mataparo Vatukam Harami.
Matrana Rakshana Mananta Piturvadascha.
Matrana Rakshana Mananta Piturvadascha. And afterwards, and then we'll turn the book to you.
Yeah. Then I'll, so I can read the purport. We'll talk a little bit about the purport. You need to do that.
Matra narakshanam ananta pitur vadascha.
Manye svabritya rishivakyamritam vidatum.
Manye svabritya rishivakyamritam vidatum.
Gham pagrishya yadavochat asad vititsus.
Gham pagrishya yadavochat asad vititsus.
Vami shvaro mataparo vatukam harami.
Vami shvaro mataparo vatukam harami.
Mat prana rakshanam. Saving my life.
Ananta.
O unlimited one. Reservoir of unlimited transcendental qualities. Pituhu.
Of my father.
Vadahacha.
And killing.
Manye.
I consider.
Swabritya.
Of your unalloyed servants.
Rishivakyam.
And of the words of the great Saint Narada.
Kritam.
True.
Vidatum.
To prove.
Kratgam.
Sword.
Prakrishya.
Taking in hand.
Yat.
Since.
Avochat.
My father said.
Asat viditsu. Desiring to act very impiously. Tvam.
You.
Ishvaraha.
Any supreme controller.
Mat aparaha.
Other than me.
Avatu. Let him save.
Come.
Your head.
Harami.
I shall not separate. Translation. My Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He has said very angrily, if there is any superior controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedvesho sti na priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te teshu chatyaham. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is undoubtedly equal to everyone. He has no friend and no enemy. But as one desires benefits from the Lord,
the Lord is very pleased to award them. The lower and higher positions of different living entities are due to their desires. For the Lord, being equal to all, fulfills everyone's desires. The killing of Hiranyakashipu and saving of Prahlad Maharaj also strictly followed this law of the Supreme Controller's activities. When Prahlad's mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, was under the protection of Narada, she prayed for the protection of her son from the enemy. And Narada Muni gave assurance that Prahlad Maharaj would always be saved from the enemy's hands. Thus, when Hiranyakashipu was going to kill Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord saved Prahlad to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita. Kaunteya patijanihi name bhaktaha pranashati. And to prove true the words of Narada. The Lord can fulfill many purposes through one action. Thus, the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. The Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing to do. As confirmed in the Vedic language, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, the Lord has nothing to do personally. For everything is done through his different potencies. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shuvyate. The Lord has multifarious energies through which everything is done. Thus, when he personally does something, it is only to satisfy his devotee. The Lord is known as Bhaktavatsala because he very much favors his devoted servants. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pachayane Vishesha Shunyavari Paschachare Satarane Oman Gyanam Timurandasya Gananjana Shivakaya Chaksur Militam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhya Chakripa Sindhu Bhya Vachapatitanam Pagadevya Vaishnavi Bhya Namaha. Is there an arrangement for translation set up for those people who need translations? If not, we should do this before going any further. It's done, huh? Any other languages?
Czech.
Russian. Urdu. One day we can hope. So, but prana lakshana mananta pitur vadascha manye sobritcha rishivakyam mitam pitatum. Kadgam prakritya yadavocha asad viditsu tam ishvaro maraparo vatuham kam harami. So he addresses the Lord, my Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities. This is simply ananta. Prabhupada translates like that. Unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities. And then two things. Ma prana rakshanam.
my prana, my life, protected or saved my life. You've saved my life. And the second thing, and killed my father. Pitu, he calls himself father. I don't think he ever called himself father before, but here's Pitu. Father, you've killed him. And now he's telling why. Prabhupada has pointed out that Krishna says he comes from time to time and destroys the demons, but actually he can dispatch any demon without showing up. He just pops a little blood-blessed vessel in their brain, or, you know, boom, they're gone. So why come and do it himself? Take it upon this nasty work, you know. I mean, it was a pretty gory scene, blood everywhere, intestines all over the place. Have you ever seen pictures? On American TV, they had these nature shows. You know, I call it nature porn, because it shows a lot of mating and eating and so on. And so they like to show how a lion kills. And in the Sringadevi, he did it exactly like a lion, because the lion is running along next to some buffalo or something, and then he reaches up with his claw and right in the guts, disembowels them. You know, that's how they do it. And so he used that same lion method. And then pulling out his intestines, you know. So there was blood everywhere. It was a mess. And he did it himself. In the appropriate body. So that he comes himself and does this. Why? So that's a good reason, because he doesn't need to show up to do that kind of thing. So he says here, he's to kill my father and save me from the sword. And then he has said very angrily, his father, this is his quotation here, Tom Ishwara Mat Aparaha Avastu. If there is any Ishwara other than me, when he says Ishwara, there's some other Ishwara than me, let you think, you know, who is the Lord? You know, I am the Supreme. Hiranyakashipu is your, you know, typical demon. I am God. And you have to remember, he was very ambitious. Many times, of course, the demons are called Indriyari, the enemies of Indriya, of Indra, because they want to take control of Indra's position, enjoying the heavenly planets. Hariranyakashipu had already done that. The Devas were in exile. It's like when there's a revolution in some country, all the leaders go, you know, they stay in America someplace until they can get back in. They go into exile. So he was in, the Devas were in exile. But Hiranyakashipu was more ambitious. He wanted the position of Brahma. Because in that position, he had sufficient access to the mechanisms that run the universe, you could say the root codes of the computer of the universe, so he could reverse the results of good and bad deeds. So that if you did bad, evil, you would prosper and enjoy and have heaven. But if you did good, you would go to hell. So that was his ambition. So he was a big time demon. So that's why he thought he was like many big demons. He was sure of his success. You know, they're very self confident people. So he says. So that's what he said to him. If you think there's any greater God than me, have him save you. He did. Because now, come Harani, I shall now decapitate you with my sword. And then, of course, the sound comes from the pillar, and Nrisimhadev shows up. And so he says, why does he come? Well, he says, the words of your Swabritya, your servants here, it's in the plural. And Rishi Vakyam, the words of Narada Rishi, his words, to show them true. And so Prabhupada explains that when you know the story, when the battle between the demons and the devas, at one point they had captured Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. She was pregnant. And the devas were thinking, wow, let's kill her. What a demon is Hiranyakashipu like? The son in her womb must be really bad. Let's just, kill her or perform an abortion or something like that before the snake gets out. But Nara Rishi saved her, stopped this from happening, and took her into custody, and then was speaking Krishna Katha to the mother and being educated by Prahlad in the womb. That's what happened. And so he promised his mother, you'll take care of your son. Your son will be protected. So that was his promise. Also, Brahma had made some promises to Hiranyakashipu. That's also his servant, Lord Brahma. Prabhupada doesn't mention here, but he mentions this in a lecture somewhere, because he'd asked Brahma to be immortal. Brahma said, that's not within my power to grant that. So then he decided, okay, grant that I will not be killed a day and night in the land or the sea or the air by any man or beast, by any so on and so forth. And so, therefore, all those prohibitions, he wasn't killed. He was killed at the twilight, so it wasn't day or it wasn't night. It was on the threshold of the palace, so it wasn't inside or outside. It was in the lap of the Lord, so it wasn't on the land, the sea, or the air. It wasn't by any man-made or God-made weapon, but the nails of the Lord. So in this way, all conditions were met. So Brahma promises were kept. That's what he did. We were discussing yesterday this question, how strange to people in the West and in Germany Nrisimhadev will appear. Half man, half lion. It's very unusual, to see this, and then there's some discussion of why this temple was put here, and so on. I was thinking that in the 11th century, a Christian saint, Anselm of Canterbury, wrote a very famous and still read today a book called Cur Deus Homo, talking about Jesus. Why the God-man? Cur, why, Deus, God, Homo, man. So we need a book. Cur Deus Leo. why the God-lion? This is... For people, why does God appear this way? But of course, God is not limited to our imagination. And so here we have some idea of why he appears this way, to fulfill this keep the promises, saving all these promises of his devotees, and of course he also is satisfying Prahlad. You know, it's because of his relationship with Prahlad to reciprocate with him. Prahlad was born among the demons. He was a devotee from the womb of his mother. He remained faithful all along. And this was this attracts Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, and everyone's attracted to him. But he's attracted by the love of his devotees, so much so that he did this, and that's another reason, and appeared as his protector in this way. Prabhupada. Very early on in the movement, started us worshipping the Sringadeva, singing after Kirtan, the Jayadeva prayer to the Sringadeva. And I remember maybe the first time I went to a temple, I saw this picture of this. I'm trying to find, what does this mean? You know, this scene with the broken pillars and this lion man, half lion. A little bit of gore down there, guts, blood and guts coming out. What does this mean? And we were told, then I heard the story. In fact, one of my first acts after moving in the temple was to play the Sringadeva in a play. At the time, I had rather long when I moved to the temple, kind of lion-colored hair, so they made me be the Sringadeva, but I disappointed everybody by shaving up a few days before the play. So they lost that effect, and so I had a mask instead, you know. But that was my first services was to play the Sringadeva. Anyway, and we were told that we pray to Lord Sringadeva for the protection of the Hare Krishna movement. That's what we did. And we did like that. But then, it was interesting enough that, it was shocking. There was one time there was a court trial in America, in Southern California, where, although California is normally a very liberal state, certain pockets of it, like Orange County, are very, very conservative. And this was a trial in Orange County, and there was a woman who had been a devotee and left, and now there was a court case with the anti-cult people all there and so on. So she testified, falsely, I think, but I'm not sure, I hope it's false, that the devotees, one reason she stayed in the movement was the devotees told her that if you leave, the Sringadeva will come and kill you, and she was terrified. It's possible that somebody may have done that. In those days, devotees were saying all kinds of things. But that's what she testified. But the real reason was is that they could then bring one of our big paintings of Nisringadeva and show the entirely Christian fundamentalist jury this picture. This is what they worship. So the jury's like, what kind of religion is this? frighten people with these kinds of things. So it is strange to people, this form of the Lord, and we have to explain it somehow to them. But I noticed here, since I was here the last time, they're actually advertising it, this Lurin Temple. Huh? I mean, it's brilliant, the Lion Temple. It's out there in front for everybody to see, and people will come just to see now. Because he's Krishna, he's all attractive. It only became a little later and began to dawn on us what Nrisimhadeva is protecting us from when he says the enemy. I have to give you a little historic background, but there was at one time in 1812, there was a war between Great Britain and the United States. And Canada was still a colony. And so there was an invasion of the United States. Actually, they burnt the capital, the British did, in 1812. And there was also an invasion from Canada. And there was a sea battle between the American Navy and the British Navy on the Great Lakes, Lake Erie. And Oliver Hazard Perry, the leader of the American forces, won. And so every American schoolchild, at least in my day, would learn his famous statement announcing his victory: "We have met the enemy, and they are ours," he said.
Ours,
yeah. They belong to us. We've captured them. We have met the enemy, and they are ours. So in the 1970s, there was a comic strip in America of these swamp animals called Pogo. Pogo was the hero. He was a possum. You know what an opossum is in German? Opossum. And a very, very popular comic strip. And Pogo was a philosophical possum. And he made a philosophical statement: "We have met the enemy, and he is us." So everybody understood this all over, you know, "We have met the enemy, but he is us. He is us." And later that became a slogan of the environmental movement, with a picture of Pogo making the statement that we are our own worst enemies. And so we have to protect Krishna conscious movement from the enemies. It's us. And that's the other function of Nrisimhadeva. He's Bhakti Vigna Vinasha, the destroyer of the obstacles for devotional service. That's his big function, really. And that's why we should pray to him. Because, we have Hiranyakashipu in the heart. Prabhupada explains this. I just want to read a little bit from Prabhupada's purport. There's prayers was offered by Prahlad when he led the residents of Harivarsha. In prayers to Nrisimhadeva. On each varsha of Jamaludvip, there's one great devotee leading the residents in prayers to a different aspect of the Lord. So on Harivarsha, so this is where this nice prayer, we all, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jastejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajjanakra Vajjadamshita Karmashaya Randaya Randaya Namo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Avayam Avayam Atmani Bhuvishtam Om Shram. This Karma Ashvaya, you kindly appear. Tejas, the power of all power. Kindly come. Prabhupada says repetition means intensity of feeling. So there's a lot of repetition. Very intense prayers. You kindly come with your claws like lightning bolts or diamonds. Vajra is both of those things, a lightning bolt or diamond, and your fangs, your long teeth like diamonds. And what do you do? Karma shayan randaya randaya. Karmashaya, Prabhupada translates as demoniac desires to be happy by material activities. And the word for word. Karmashaya are deep-rooted desires. Ashaya is like a deep disposition or tendency to act that sometimes governs us and we don't even know it's working. We're not even fully conscious, but it's making us this urge to enjoy in this world. But he calls them here demoniac. And no word for it. You peer and you destroy those. Randaya, randaya, vanquish, vanquish. And drive away tamaha, ignorance. This way, give us fearlessness. Abhayam, abhayam, atmani. And in Abhi, in my heart, in my mind, you know, this is where you should appear, inside me, and do this. So, Prabhupada points this out in the purport. He says, therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Narsimhadev, who killed Hiranyakasipu, the personification of material desires. Thus, Hiranyakasipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Narsimhadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Narsimhadev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So that's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing it. We can only be defeated by our what's in our heart. And therefore, we pray like that. Kindly do it. So we have to, you know, kindly destroy my material desires. And we have to pray sincerely with this kind of feeling. Not, yes, I will please destroy my material desires, but not just yet. give me 10 more years, you know. Well, please destroy my material desires, except for this one. Leave that one alone. This is not a deep prayer. That we have to be careful. We have second order desires. You know, desires for desires. Sometimes we have to get the first order desire and the second order desires all out of the way. Because you may say, people say, I chant Hare Krishna. That's also a prayer, actually, to be free from material desires. If the meaning of the Maha Mantra is, as Prabhupada instructs us, please engage me in your service, then the corollary, the logical equivalent is, please free me from anything that blocks my service. So, and you can be very particular. Free me from this desire or that desire, or this attachment or that attachment or this ambition or whatever. So to the proportion that we actually pray, Krishna will come. You can't say, I've been praying and praying and nothing happens. I've heard that complaint. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra doesn't work. But usually if you find out the reason it doesn't work is we're not praying properly. In the purport to the next verse, Prabhupada continues the purport to this verse, the one I just read. He says, because in the next verse, Prahlad is praying to make people wish each other well. Svasyastu visvasha kalapasidatam dayantu vitani shivam mitodhya. May all living entities actually wish each other well. So Prabhupada says, therefore we should pray to Lord Narsimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho, which we do. And what does that mean? Let Lord Narsimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean. so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Because this, the second part of this prayer, Swastyastu Vishvasha, may the whole world become auspicious and peaceful. Kala Prasidatam, may all those who are envious become pacified and reconciled. Prabhupada says the envious means almost everyone in the word for word. He says, the envious, parentheses, almost everyone. Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodaya, may all living beings learn to wish each other well. Wish wishes. Then, Manastabhadram, and may my mind become also Bhadram, peaceful and auspicious. And how will these come about? It says here, Bhajatad Arhoksaje Aveshatam no Matyarapyahaituki. May my mind become absorbed in the transcendent Lord and my intelligence without any motive. And that's his prayer, starting from the very broad down to my mind. So this is a continuation of the previous prayer, actually in this way. And that's why we are really, why Nrisimhadev is here for us. Nrisimhadev is, by the way, very closely associated with Lord Jagannath. There's a Nrisimha temple right at the Jagannath temple at Puri and also at the Gundicha temple. And when Lord Jagannath goes into seclusion, he's worshipped as Lord Nrisimhadev, traditionally. Those are the mantras that they use to worship him during that time. And Lord Jagannath is very merciful, and because he is merciful to, as Prabhupada said, children and meat eaters, he's come as the form of the Lord. That first deity was installed outside of India was Jagannath, and we have our parades where he goes out to give benediction to everybody. So with this more deeply materialistic embedded audience, it's also proper that worship of Nrisimhadev also goes along with him, and that he please fulfill our desires and purify our hearts and make ourselves auspicious so we can help make the whole world auspicious. Hare Krishna.
Who should we talk? You decide. Would you like to talk now?
Okay.
He was just sent for really just only 1 minute, 2 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Well, that's not the text.
I opened it up somewhere else.
Okay.
You see, we have
Krishna, Krishna.
Yeah. Not a marketer. What is the...
Can you please tell me...
What is 29, right here. Yeah, here it is.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right. Yes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shivaye Hari Vedanta Swami Vitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asyakareshadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Vedanta Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadhi Gauravata Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Sarup Prabhu has told us about very wonderful prayer from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a prayer where devotees pray to Lord Nrsingadev so that he said the enemy within us is vanquished. Very often there is, at least in the old times in which I grew up, a slight misunderstanding about Lord Nrsingadev. The misunderstanding is that he is meant to rip all those who are against us to pieces. So nicely, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explained that a devotee of Krishna understands that really he can only sabotage himself by giving room for the ripus, the six enemies which surround the heart, ever ready to attack, you know, karma, krodha, lust, greed, and so on and so forth. So there's this prayer which is chanted to Lord Nrsingadev, a prayer where he is, where the devotee is not outwardly facing and looks at people who are against him maybe, but a prayer where he is inwardly facing and recognizes his own weaknesses and enemies is within. And I would love to guide you into praying this prayer today all together. I thought to read to you the translation so that you know what you say in Sanskrit, and then we will chant the Sanskrit prayer together. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Basically, vanquish our demon-like desires for sense gratification. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Please take your hands like this and repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namaste Jaste Jase.
Namaste.
Hare Ravi Vajadanka Vajadamstra Tamashaya Vandaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Svaha
chant in some private time which you have with Lord Nishinadev on the altar. It's a good if you go and interact with the deity in a prayerful mood. Then the real benefit of this appearance day can happen in your life, and that is that the Lord appears in your own life, in your own heart, it becomes active there to help you in your troubled journey on the path of spiritual life. Troubled because there are these enemies who can cause harm, and who have caused harm, who are causing harm, and who will cause harm. This is a first class prayer. You might consider it. You can find it in the 5th canto, 18th chapter, text number 8. Let us focus on one aspect of the Nishinadev Leela which can be relatable to our situation. We know Hiranyakashipu performed huge austerities to become immortal. He wanted to actually rule the universe. And we've learned today a detail of his plan, which I was only vaguely aware and had forgotten. He actually wanted to reverse the order which the Lord put into this universe, that by evil action there are karmic reactions which are bad, which are hard on you, and by good things, when you do good deeds, there are auspicious results. So he wanted to reverse it. He wanted to really control the universe. And he had been to a large extent successful because the powerful rulers of the universe, the demigods, had actually bowed down, except for two, Brahma and Indra. He had not captured those posts as of yet, but he was working very hard towards that end. So initially, what gave him so much power was austerities. By the power of austerities, you can actually, canalize power or collect powers. That's why we have certain austerities in our movement for Krishna consciousness, in the four rules and regulations, because that will give us strength. And if you then perform certain sadhanas or spiritual activities regularly, then this strength will be positively increased. So Hiranyakashipu also performed austerities and certain sadhanas, and at the end he had so much power that from his head emanated a blazing flame which was scorching the devatas on the upper planetary systems. He was a power man. He had another agenda. He wanted to usurp all the positions of rulership in the universe, but he also was determined to avenge the death of his dear brother here in Yaksha. you know, Lord Vishnu had previously appeared to Hiranyaksha as Varaha, Murti, the form of Lord Varaha, and had actually killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, the brother. But was he the younger brother or the older? Hiranyaksha was... So who came out first? Hiranyaksha. So he's younger by that logic. You're very affectionate to a younger brother. I don't know if you have a younger brother, but if you have, the youngest, Hiranyakashipu had not an Oedipus complex, but he had something as severe as that. He felt my young brother, who was helpless actually, has been killed by this Vishnu who took on this form. And he actually wanted to confront Vishnu very much. He wanted to become strong. He must have. He said when he was rising to power, he felt that Lord Vishnu was afraid of him, and therefore he was hiding in the hearts of his devotees. So he hated also the devotees who were giving a place for the arch enemy in their hearts, because the Lord was there. Often I think Hiranyakashipu must have called out in desperation, "Show yourself, show me what you got." He was really dramatized, and on top of it, he was so ambitious. He wanted to become the universal ruler and displace God and put himself in that position. He was a strong demon. You might think, how is it possible for anyone to think, psychologically, how is it possible to think that one can replace God and be God? You might ask yourself the question, and I believe for the Nrisimha Leela it is important to raise this question. How can one be so conceited, so deceived, so much in illusion? You must know one thing. The Lord only reveals His Lordhood, His Godhood, to His devotees. And when His devotees are in trouble, then He also shows the demons. But He has a loving relationship to the devotees. He doesn't have a need to show Himself. He only really takes care of His devotees. Thus, when He personally does something, it is only to satisfy His devotee, says Srila Prabhupada. He is His devotee's man. He is related to His devotee, and He becomes revealed in increments, that means more and more, according to the devotion the devotees, and he does not show himself to materialistic people. He's not bragging around, with his God. But he is no need. He's self satisfied. So when the Lord comes into the view of a conditioned soul, he is really only known to the conditioned souls if they have developed devotion. That may explain that when Krishna appeared, he was outside of Vrindavan and Down they also don't think he's God. But he was not seen as God by many. Do you know this? Even there were people who challenged him, like Pundraka. And even when Duryodhana saw a partial display of the universal form, he thought, I can also do some magic. That's not a sign for God. So when when Lord Narsinghadev, Hiranyakashipu thought, this there is no Lord. I mean, and even when he saw how Narsinghadev was coming at him, he thought, I'm also a magician. Hey, what I can do? And he disappeared from the spot and came and from the sky. You know, I'm almost seeing it as a children. I watch a movie, you know, with the sword coming, shooting down on the Lord. He thought, I also can do these things. Only, you know, the Lord becomes known as such when he reveals his extraordinary powers which are in him. I want to give you an example. I'm living now in Gora Bhavan, near to the Dharma castle, near to our Berlin preaching, and one of our devotees lives next to the mayor, the head of the town. So when I first visited Bhagavadharma Prabhu in his house, I met the mayor. I didn't know he's the mayor. And I was somehow in a very joking mood, and I said to him, I think you eat too much, because he was so fat. Now in the town where I'm coming from, Hamburg, that's all right to say. There is like in New York, the New Yorkers talk a little heftily with each other, a little strong with each other. It's a sign of affection. So I thought, this is North Germany. I talk in my Hamburg way. Hey, you eat a little much, I can see that. But he took it wrongly, and he looked with red fiery eyes at me, and I just said, I don't know. Sometimes one is in a little different mood. With the oldies, I'm a good boy. But sometimes I don't know. I just felt, let us joke a little. The Germans are always a little bit too quadratos, you know. I wanted to help him relieve his quadrangular mood. Then I learned from Bhagavad Dharma, who he came out, you know, to greet me, and he saw that interchange. Oh, this is the mayor of the town. He has tremendous potencies. He can evict you from the town, cancel your rental agreement, and he can just create a lot of trouble to you. And I thought, oh my God, this is the mayor. Ooh, I don't want that he displays or reveals to me his potencies. therefore, I made good. Next time I came, I brought a present, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm from Hamburg. That's how we joke. Didn't mean it. I thought this would lighten your mood from your very difficult major responsibilities and your pleas. But the point is, you only know the personal qualities of someone when he displays them. When he keeps the qualities inside of him, you actually don't know who he is. This holds true for devotees. Many devotees amongst us are very advanced souls. who have been working on their spiritual lives, not just in this lifetime, but over many other lifetimes. Some of us are also greenhorns, means starting something on this path. But they are very, very advanced souls, but you can't see it. You may see it when they are alone before the altar and they reveal their hearts to the Lord, and then you know, my God, he is a devoted soul. So the same is with the Lord. The Lord only is known when he reveals his Shakti. As confirmed in the Vedic language, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavityate. The Lord has nothing to do personally, for everything is done through his different potencies. Only when Lord Nrisimhadev showed how he just effortlessly killed Hiranyakashipu, who had become uncontrollable, who had become indefeatable, it was known, oh, he is the Lord. Once the great emperor Akbar challenged Birbal, his minister. He said, what type of God are you worshipping? He comes to save his devotee. I am just a king, an emperor. I'm a human being. But if something goes wrong in my empire, I will tell it to I will work through my powers, my ministers. I will make a decree, means an order, and by that order a lot is moved. And I won't do it personally. I don't need to. So why is it that your Lord, whom you worship, is so incompetent? He has no people whom he can tell. He has no powers. He has to appear personally when one of his trusted men is in trouble. Birbal, who was a pious Sanatana Dharmi, my emperor, give me a few days, I will show you. So then he arranged a boat party where he arranged that the whole royal court would go near Akbar, Agra, they would go on a boat ride on the Jamuna, and the queens were there, and Akbar came, the musicians on the boat, the young grandchild of Akbar was there, and the emperor was pleasantly lit on this boat. It was a very enjoyable ride until one man came. He had been put on the boat, an assassinator. And he grabbed the youngest grandchild of Akbar. He took the child and he threw the child in the Yamuna bath, started to drown. When Akbar saw this, he just jumped into the Yamuna, swam to that grandchild whom he liked most because of its cuteness. And as he caught the grandchild, he noticed it's only a puppet swimming in the water. What's that? He came back on the boat. He was swimming back to the boat. He was helped on top of the boat, and there was Birbal, his minister. He said, oh, why did you jump personally? Why didn't you just send someone, your ministers for instance? Why didn't you use your Shaktis? You did it, said Akbar. You made this doll, which was an imitation of my grandchild. And he then said, Birbal, I promised you to show you what affection can do. the Lord in a similar way loves his devotees so much that for them and for them only he appears personally. He doesn't send someone or uses his powerful shaktis or energies through which he manifests, maintains and annihilates the whole universe. That is love, and that is a good attribute. Please forgive me, my majesty, but you are sometimes a little slow in understanding. So he was the minister and also the royal jester, joker. It was all right for him to joke with her. It's not all right to do that with a major if you are not the major's jester. What is a joker? So my point here is, out of love, Krishna appeared for Prahlad Maharaj and saved him. Hiranyakashipu had a great son, this Prahlad Maharaj. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita paints a very nice image of Prahlad Maharaj, which I very much love to share with you. Prahlad Maharaj is, according to the Bhagavatam, that great soul who represents the process of smaranam, or meditating about the Lord. And he was often found from childhood onwards to sit just somewhere under a tree, his eyes shut close, meditating about the Lord, to whom he had a very devoted relationship. Hiranyakashipu thought maybe not the enemy is within us. We met the enemy and he is us. He thought we met the enemy and he is in our family. That's Prahlad. And he tried in many ways to kill him. He was totally upset by the devotional acumen of the quality of his son. It would unnerve him, get on his nerves if he would see Prahlad Maharaj meditating under some tree about the Lord. He did many things. The last was, he offered him a poisoned meal. His own mother, what was the name of the mother of Prahlad Maharaj? Kayadu had to bring that poisoned meal to her son. And Hiranyakashipu was just watching it. He liked to torture people, even his own wife. Then Kayadu, as he was leaning down and offering this plate of poison, it's a gift by your father, she whispered, only Prahlad could hear. So he knew that the plate which was given to him by his father contained deadly poison. But just look at his shraddha, his faith. He offered it to the Lord with his devotion. And after this he had the feeling, this is now prashad, and he ate it. Look at the faith of this devotee. Who's such a great devotee of the Lord? Finally, in the ultimate confrontation, Hiranyakashipu grew so angry. He was really, his son was siding with his arch enemy. He asked, from where do you get this power? Prahlad said, Father, from the same sources you get your power. It's the Lord. Maybe he had in mind this analogy which Prabhupada would use. Maybe he looked into the future. Prabhupada often said, all the electrical bulbs have their power from the power station, right? This light is powered by the same power station as the light in your room, and so on. All the power everywhere is coming from a power station. So all the powers which you see in the universe is coming from the Lord only. So this was in Prahlad Maharaj's mind. You get your power, I get whatever the Lord wants to give to me. Same source. And then Hiranyakashipu grew, he couldn't control himself any longer. He totally became furious, and he said, if there is a Lord who is more powerful than me, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your trunk, no, from your body. So then Lord Nrsimhadev couldn't tolerate it. As he saw Hiranyakashipu with a raised sword ready to kill his devotee, he appeared from the pillar and killed Hiranyakashipu. He took him on his lap, and Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has told you everything. I don't want to repeat this part because maybe some pregnant ladies are here. It is really so devotees daily glorify Lord Nrsimhadev, who is the source of all power, who is the powerhouse, so to say, by singing this song. Ito ito nishinha parato nishingo yato yato yamitato nishinha bahi nishingo vijaye nishingo nishinha marim sharanam prapadhe. Ito nishinha means nishinha is here. Parato nishinha means nishinha is also there on the opposite side. Yato yato yami tato nishinha. Wherever I go, there is nishinha. You can't avoid him. He's all pervading. But here nishinha. Nishinha is outside. But hrida ye nishinha. Nishinha is in my heart. Nishinha adim sharanam prapadye. I take shelter of Lord Nishinha, the primeval Lord. He's everywhere. And then they say, we also sing, Namaste Narasimhaya.
Namaste Narasimhaya.
Balarala dadaine. Hiranyakashipu vakshaha.
Hiranyakashipu vakshaha.
Silatanka nakalaye. Sila means stone. Hiranyakashipu's chest was like stone. That means even the thunderbolt of Indra was hurled toward that chest, but it bounced off that chest. Sometimes we have two devotees who in kirtan jump with their chests on top of each other, bang bang, like the Kozakin. And up to now, no chest has broken. But it's not of stone. Hiranyakashipu was Mr. Invulnerable. But Lord Nrsimhadev took his sharp nails. The Ramanuja Sampradaya holds that these nails are a representation of the chakra. No? It's so powerful. So then he simply cut the chest apart. When you read about the nails of the Lord, for instance in the Bhagavatam, it says Naka Mandala. Naka means nail, and mandala means an orb of effulgence. The nails of the Lord are effulgent, in other words, and the devotees meditate when they meditate about the Lord on his lotus feet and the effulgence coming from his lotus nails. There are many descriptions in the Bhagavatam of Krishna's and Srimati Radharani. This in other texts, the Goswami texts write in great detail about the light emanating from the nails and the lotus feet of Shri Radha and Krishna. In great detail, this information is given. And that meditation is done, you think about the lotus feet and the nails, so that the inner darkness of the heart can be dispelled by the light from Krishna's lotus feet. So also devotees meditate upon these nakas, these nails on the hands in Lord Nashimadev's case, but also the lotus feet of Lord Nashimadev are also there. And by approaching the Lord like this, knowing that you can take away that inner darkness from my heart, that is very useful on this day. Do you know what is inner darkness? Sleeping or listening? Inner darkness is outer darkness, you know. It's dark, it's night. Inner darkness is much more dangerous. When you have inner darkness, this tama in the heart, you have no idea where you're going in your life. That inner darkness is a great problem in this world, much more than the outer darkness. Materialistic civilization has street lights almost everywhere now, at least in Germany, not in India. But it has done nothing against the inner darkness, which just kills people, really. But you have this inner darkness means it's a cover of the heart, of your whole spiritual yearning, your longings to advance, your eagerness for Krishna. And it does come very often also for devotees of the spiritual path. We worship our spiritual master, Om Ajana Timarandasya, that he may open our eyes, which are covered by this inner darkness, by the torchlight of knowledge, may give some light. We worship when we pray to the Lord. There's this, these Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, these four important verses in the Gita, where it is said that the Imam Ivanukampa Tam, the Lord, in the heart removes the darkness born of ignorance. This is not an outer darkness, it's an inner darkness. So, while the Lord is dangerous to the demons, I mean, he kills them, his same nakas, the same thing is enlightening his devotees. Devotees pray to the Lord on this day. They ask him for a blessing so that they can actually be lifted out of this world. They say, Prabhupada has quoted this verse verse which Arvinda Swarup Prabhu has quoted for us, where Prahlad wishes that the whole universe may benefit. And vision, and he has asked for prayer. Prahlad Maharaj has asked the Lord, please benefit the whole universe. Make all those who are suffering from this envy, it's also a problem in the Hare Krishna movement. Envy, it is very dangerous for mutual love and affection amongst devotees. May all this go, Prahlad says. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in that shloka that devotees can ask the Lord for a blessing. And Srila Prabhupada said a very good prayer to ask for a very good blessing is this verse, which you can chant with me. Ainandatanuya kinkaram patitama vishame bhavamuro kripaya tavapara pankaja sidaduri sadesham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, O Krishna, in actuality I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow it has happened that I have fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. It's a vishame. It's not a romantic ocean like in the Adria. It's an ocean of visha. Visha means poison. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of your lotus feet. I am small. I am just like a little dust, pollen of dust, and I actually belong like the flower pollen belongs to the lotus flower. I belong to your lotus feet. Please pick me up and bring me to this original or constitutional position which I actually have. Please finish this unnatural situation for me, this ocean of death. Now I want to end with a point of Prahlad Maharaj, which I feel is an important detail. Hiranyakashipu had wondered, how has my boy become Krishna conscious? He is born in a good demon family. We have quality blood. We are asuras. How could he become so degraded as to worship our enemy in my own family? This is a scandal, family tragedy. Our schools are so well protected. It's known that there are Vaishnavas which I have not yet killed, but how could they get in the school and infect him? And he asked his teachers, leave us kids alone. No, he didn't say like this. He said, teachers, how could you be so careless and let the Vaishnavas invade? I said, that's not possible, my dear emperor. It is not possible. You asked him personally from where he got his Krishna consciousness. Now, a Prahlad answer is something which might save your life. Because do you also want to become Krishna conscious sometimes? Maybe on a good festival day like this, it's the forefront of the night. Hare Krishna, that's how we talk in North Germany, please excuse me. So, Prahlad gave an answer. He basically said, one cannot become Krishna conscious by one's own efforts. You try what you want, it won't work. One cannot become Krishna conscious by the efforts of others. And one cannot become Krishna conscious by the combined efforts of oneself and others. Now you might say, wow, this is bad news. That means this is called logic. All possibilities to become Krishna conscious are now ruled out, not by your own effort, not by others' efforts, and not by a combination of you try hard and others try hard. It won't work. It should be now dissolved, the Hare Krishna movement. Because it doesn't work. Now, listen to his answer. He said, Naisham vatista vaduru kramangrim Shprishyat yamata pagamo yadata Mahiya sampara rajo bishekam Bishekam is abhishek, a bath Niskin sananam navinita yavat. The only way one can become Krishna consciousness is by being blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who's completely free from material contamination. This is not possible by your own effort, not by the efforts of other ordinary persons, or by the combined efforts. You require the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who's completely free from material contamination. This means you need to serve a pure devotee. And on this day, particular day, I would really love to bring this point at the forefront of your good attention. In our own desire to become Krishna conscious, blessings are always more powerful than whatever we can do on our own. You cannot reach to the spiritual world by your own push-ups, your own efforts. It does not work. You need to please a pure devotee, and you need to ask for the blessings. So in our movement, we therefore very confidentially always emphasize Prabhupada's unique position as that personality who came to actually save us. He came to save us. And our effort is that we find somehow our place in the service of Prabhupada. I sincerely request all of you, think about your place in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. There is a place for even the most hopeless cases of us. There is a place for the most unusual persons with the most unusual characters. There is a place. You just need to become aware that you absolutely need to find a place. We live in modern times, postmodern times, the socialists will tell us. Often we think in these times critical, often we think in these times disheartened, discouraged. Our movement has not yet billions of followers. Other movements have more than us. We sometimes feel, oh, where is the lack of, where is the examples? We feel that spark of enthusiasm has given way to Kartavya Buddhi, that one does things out of duty. Many of us have even become discouraged on the path, and not even out of duty. Please consider this very deeply. How will you go? How will you progress in your life if you do not place yourself in a situation where you can obtain blessings? You need to please the mission of Srila Prabhupada. You need to also cry out today for the blessings of Lord Nrsimhadev. In this wonderful, wonderful verse, please help me against these inner enemies, these desires which are not good, which are leading me astray. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaurinitai ki jai, Srila Nrsimhadeva ki jai.
Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna, we went out.
That was good. So we continue to speak more about Lord Nishima there, because the appearance day of the Lord is reserved exclusively for worship of the Lord. And today we stop all other activities, we are even fasting, so that all energy will be directed simply towards the worship of the Lord. And we see that on such appearance day many offerings are made, so many preparations are cooked as an offering, abhishekas are offered, and also katha is offered, sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering. So I was reading something from Jiva Goswami about worshipping the Lord on Nrisimha Chaturdasi and in the Sandarbhas. And Jiva Goswami said that before we begin the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev, we must worship Prahlad Maharaj. And then he referred to so many quotes of scriptures such as the Padma Purana verse, Aradhanam Saivesham Vishmaradhanam Param Tasmat Paratam Devi Tadiyanam Samarjana. First worship the devotee of the Lord, and then worship the Lord. So he made that point about this particular day, and therefore I wanted to begin a little bit with going back to Prahlad Maharaj. And of course Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb when he heard these instructions that Narada Muni gave to Kriyadu, his mother. And although the mother heard, it didn't penetrate deeply into her heart. It didn't actually change her to the extent that the child in the womb was affected. But Prahlad was so deeply affected, even in the womb, that therefore, even in his early childhood, he was a great devotee. And I'll begin there. In 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 37, Hiranyakasipu terrorizes the universe. Nyastakridanakobalo Jadavatan Manastaya Krishna Graha Vrihitatma Narida Jagat Idrisam. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Asina pariyatanasnan sayana dravivan bruvan nanu sandatta etani govinda pariyambita. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking and talking, were being automatically performed. Text 39. Kvachitrudati vaikunta chinta shabada chetanaha kvachitta satitas chinta lada udgayati kvachit because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Text 14. Nadati kvachit ukkanto vilaja nicchati kvachit kvachitta bhavana yuktastanmayana chakaraha. Sometimes, upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy, and sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Kvachit utpa ut, sorry, little closer. Kvachit utpulakastrisnim aste sansparsa nirvita aspanda pranayananda salira niriteksana. Sometimes, feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hair standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. Sautama sloka padaravindayor nisevaya kinchana sangalabdaya tanvan param nivrittam atmana muhur dusanga ninasya manasaman vyadat. Because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees who have nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features, when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed on them transcendental bliss. So, just see what kind of personality Prahlad was. How Prahlad was so absorbed, so transcendental, so ecstatic. So filled with remembering and glorifying the Supreme Lord that all other things were just forgotten. Sometimes the child was called to come and eat, but he was not even noticing it. Prahlad was such an amazing personality. And as the pastime unfolds, Prahlad's transcendental nature is just more and more amazing. More and more, because nothing faces him. We don't see any fear in Prahlad. We don't see, being thrown in the pit with snakes. It's sort of a situation where we might also think of the Lord, but in utmost fear, I might also chant, but overwhelmed by great anxiety. I remember I was on this tiny little plane in very bad weather, and I chanted 16 rounds in 1 hour. It's like utmost fear, and one can do amazing things in such a time. But that seems to be absent in Prahlad. We just don't see it. How is it possible? How is it possible at all in the most extreme conditions, with snakes and boiled in hot oil, big demons with sharp weapons trying to pierce him, all extremely intimidating circumstances, and Prahlad stands totally unimpressed. Just totally unimpressed. We can see how much his heart was filled, and at the same time we can see that our Krishna consciousness is maybe still hovering somewhere on the intellectual plane, but hasn't really entered deeply into our heart and hasn't filled our heart with such love and absorption
And therefore, when we are confronted with a fearful situation, suddenly that emptiness in our heart fills with fear. Like a lot's heart. But, and then of course, we still remember Krishna, because we've heard so much. So intellectually, we can still take shelter, and we chant, we do all these things, but in fear at that time. But blood became extremely filled with the with remembrance of the Lord. His remembrance was deep and emotional. So we see symptoms of bhava in the blood. In the Chaitanya Sikhsamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing that different devotees, according to their own level of realization, have capacity to awaken different responses in non-devotees. So it is said that one who is in nista, who is fixed in firm determination in worship of the Lord, such a devotee can instill shraddha, can instill initial faith in a conditioned soul. It is said that one who is in bhava or in ecstasy can invoke in a non-devotee even feelings of ruchi, even feelings of taste can be awakened by one who shares his bhava. That we find a little further explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from Rupa Goswami, who explains this principle of chaya bhava and shadow reflection, and who says that that one can, in the association of a great devotee, suddenly also get a shadow reflection of the ecstasy of that devotee, and suddenly one also feels very Krishna conscious and very inspired in Krishna consciousness. And then it is stated that in prolonged association of such a devotee, such chaya bhava can even become permanent. So Rupa Goswami explains. Then back to Chaitanya Sikhsamrita, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one who is in Krishna prema, he can uplift a conditioned soul to the same level of love of God where he is. When we see the amazing consciousness in Prahlad, we can only and then we just appreciate that all that came about by the instructions Prahlad heard while in the womb. And then for a moment we can just see the potency of Narada Muni, especially in the context of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained to us. So that is something amazing. And Prahlad, as we see the words of Narada fructified to such an amazing extent. And Prahlad, such a devotee. And like I said, not only in his childhood, but also in his earlier Itadita, but also later, when actually Hiranyakasipu became inimical, then Prahlad remained completely fearless and completely absorbed throughout, not for a moment distracted. Then later in the past times, we get to the point where Lord Nisringadev is extremely angry. Now we go to the ninth chapter, and in that ninth chapter we find that
that the demigods are extremely, extremely fearful. And there's a whole assembly there of the demigods who are present before Lord Shingadev, and they are just all sort of thrown backwards by the impact of Lord Shingadev's incredible anger. Even Lakshmi is not ready to go before the Lord for two reasons. One is anger, and the other one, she's also not sure who he is, because she's never seen that form of the Lord before. So, therefore, being completely chaste, Lakshmi also is not ready to appear before the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who, because of fear, could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Therefore Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Shrinidad is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord." Narada Muni continued, "O king, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Nrsimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. When Lord Nrsimhadev saw the small boy, Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all his devotees. By the touch of Lord Nrsimhadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendently situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body, his heart filled with love, then his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart." So this has always puzzled me, you know, like, I've always looked at these two sections, sort of, and in my mind put them together. So I thought I'd do it today for you. You can see how amazing this is, that Prahlad is so Krishna conscious, even before getting the darshan of the Lord. So Krishna conscious, just inconceivably Krishna conscious in comparison to us. And then yet, as Lord Nrsimhadev appears, he gets purified by that touch of Lord Nrsimhadev from all kinds of contamination of having taken birth in this demoniac lineage and so on. So just thinking about that, thinking how the Lord plays a part in the purification of the devotee. There is, of course, the verse Sarva Dharma Parichayama Mekam Saranam Vrajaham Tam Sarva Papiriva Moksha Ishami Masucha, which is a verse which is divided in two sections. The first section is for the devotee, an instruction for the devotee: just abandon all varieties of activity and just surrender unto me. That's our duty. And the second part is the promise of the Lord: I will deliver you from all the reactions of your sinful activities. So the Lord says, I will take up this mission to purify you. A further thought on the topic of devotees being still further purified by the mercy of the Lord, we can find in the pastimes of Krishna on this planet in Vrindavan, and how the gopis appear in his pastimes. And there are different gopis from various backgrounds, the sages of Dandakaranya, when they saw what Ramachandra desired, a conjugal relationship, and were told that they could do so in the next appearance. The daughters of the rishis, the rishi kanyas, the deva kanyas, the daughters of the deva, so various devotees were there. But it is pointed out that amongst these gopis who were associating with Krishna, some were still having some remnants of material contamination, although practically, unnoticed. I mean, obviously they were such amazing devotees. But when Krishna played his flute at Bansiwat and called the gopis in that way, these gopis were obstructed by their family members and could not join. And they were, and in that separation, they burned up the last remainder of that material contamination. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada explained that that when we have dedicated our life to Krishna and to devotional service, that at the end of our life, we may, before going to the spiritual world, go to a universe where Krishna performs his pastimes, and there will be finally purified. So this element of the Lord playing part in the purification is not unprecedented, but still it's astounding. It's astounding when we are looking at Prahlad. So I thought of highlighting this particular point. I think we all meditated a little bit on coming here to this Tirtha, this holy place where Lord Nrisimhadev is present, a very rare place in the world indeed, in our movement, to find such deities of Lord Nrisimhadev in South India may be possible, but outside of India very rare, and particularly to our movement. And then in our movement there are really only three such major deities of Lord Nrisimhadev: one in Mayapur, then in New Vrindavan, and here in, and of course for Europe particularly. So this deity is of great significance in our coming here also. So I also thought, let me go. I heard that so many senior Vaishnavas were going to be here. I wondered, is there any space left to stay? But let me go, because I wanted to come and pray, to pray to the Lord on this day here, to this form, this manifestation of the Lord, so that we could get some mercy. And obviously in that prayer, we were thinking along the lines of Sarvavikna Vinasam, as Ravindra Sarup highlighted in his talk, the internal purpose of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance, to remove the obstacles of the heart. So as I was traveling here, I was thinking about that Sarvavikna Vinasam point, and what came to mind was Sridhar Mayapur and how we have the description of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Navadvipa Mahatmya, where the whole Dhamma is described, and also Nisringa Pali or Deva Pali is described there, and how Lord Nisringadev was present there and rested there, and how all the demigods came there to worship the Lord, and how the Lord washed his hands there, and all these things are remembered when we visit Nisringa Pali. But then Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur wrote a second book next to the Navadvipa Mahatmya, which follows the Navadvipa Mahatmya exactly. It follows all the holy places that are described in the Navadvipa Mahatmya. But this time, it is a book that describes the internal experience as he is going around the Dhamma, and this book is called Navadvipa Bhavataranga, or describing the waves of ecstasy that are experienced in Navadvipa. And now, Srila Bhaktivinoda is describing what he is experiencing when he is coming to each of the places. And he prays and he begs for mercy. And when he comes to Nisringa Pali, then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is particularly praying that all the obstacles will be removed from his heart so that he can become eligible to the worship of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So again, this I also found interesting because it looks so incompatible. Radha Krishna in their sweetness and, well, some of our previous speakers got a little graphic about intestines and blood and lions and all that all
it's
over the place.
In the text, come on.
All over the place. And that's appreciated. I mean, I don't need to repeat it. That's my point. It was well done. It was covered. You covered it. So I'm just sort of doing a quick flashback there. Yes, so Radha and Krishna in their sweetness, Lord Nisringadev needs a separate altar. There's no doubt about it. She couldn't put them next to each other. I sometimes think that's why Madan Mohan is not here on this farm anymore. It wasn't just possible, wasn't conducive for both of them to be so close, so they both took a different corner of Germany, so that they had some space to develop their moods, because the two together would be really, would be difficult. This dark brown temple with the pujaris and the black chamaras kind of doesn't leave much room for the sweetness of Radha and Krishna. Yes, it's interesting. In this regard, Srila Baladeva Jibhusan is also speaking about worshipping the Lord in different moods. And he was explaining how there is this ekanti bhav, this exclusive type of consciousness, where one worships a particular form of the Lord to the exclusion of others. And he's saying there are some worshippers of Lord Nisringadev, they don't like to see Krishna with a flute. They don't like. They like weapons and nails and chakras, and they like prayers like kill, kill, kill. And we find some of such prayers in, I haven't memorized the Sanskrit, but I think some of you are familiar with the little Nisringadev prayer book. Have read that prayer, kill, kill, kill.
super intense machine gun prayer, and well, the devotee just prays, kill, 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 kill.
Well, so when we speak about Ekanti Bhakti, yes, we are particularly, as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, focusing on Vrindavan and on that sweetness of Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan we don't see much Nrsingadev worship, very, very less, not much at all. But yet, we worship Nrsingadev. We worship Nrsingadev. So, that is a bit of an interesting point, and I sort of elaborate on that and then I'll kind of wrap it up. Why would we have to turn to Lord Nrsingadev for protection? Krishna is protecting his devotees all the time, one demon after another. Before lunch, Krishna usually kills a demon. That is his general activity. There's always some demon appearing, and no, Krishna really doesn't need any help in this respect. So why? Why do we need to turn to Lord Nrsingadev? And then, of course, the answer is this Vikmipinasan is one aspect. But there is one other aspect, an aspect which, again, Jiva Goswami was highlighting. And he was highlighting that Lord Nrsingadev is an especially compassionate form of the Lord. Because think about it, this ghastly, harsh form of the Lord, with nails like thunderbolts, ferocious teeth, and licking his tongue and all that, his tongue shooting out of the mouth, licking lips and ready for action. That Lord only appeared in that extremely angry form out of his deep affection for Prahlad. Therefore, the Lord Nrsingadev is the embodiment of soft-heartedness. We can look at him like the soft-hearted feature of the Lord, particularly the extremely soft-hearted feature of the Lord. It takes a little bit of adjustment. One has to go beyond the external. But still, that is actually who we are looking at. We're looking at the soft-hearted feature of the Supreme Lord. Because out of this immense, deep soft-heartedness, he took this unlimitedly angry form. Yeah, so just see how deep he was showing his compassion, his love for his devotee. So that element is there. And then, yes, Bahir Nisigo Nisimo Ridaye Nisimo. Externally the Lord, internally the Lord. And internally, the lion drives away the elephant-like sinful desires in the heart, which are very powerful. In other words, sometimes it's described like that, the elephant-like sinful desires in the heart. So extremely powerful, which we find very hard to overcome, very difficult. That is our great struggle, and therefore that compassionate feature of the Lord we are turning to. So just like Prahlad, we are not afraid of the Lord. Just like Prahlad, we know that Lord Nrsingadev is actually one, a Lord of immense kindness. And here, in this particular temple, Lord Nrsingadev actually shows his pacified form with Prahlad on his lap. He shows his very sweet compassion.
compassionate mood. At the same time, extremely heavy also.
When Pujaris provide him with weapons,
when he does have a few.
The best Japan has to offer among them.
Yes, the Pujaris provide him with weapons, the best Japan has to offer. Absolutely. Certainly so. Yes. And so about the heaviness of Lord Nrisimhadeva, it is also often mentioned that the worship of Lord Nrisimhadeva is particularly performed by brahmacharis. That only brahmacharis worship Lord Nrisimhadeva traditionally because he's so angry. Because he's so angry, therefore they don't want anyone around with any possibly impure thoughts. So it's oftentimes pujaris are only brahmacharis.
And even then.
Even then, because even then, I was sure of comments. Questioning the brahmacharis. Of course, Kavi Karnapur says that in this age of Kali, generally speaking, brahmacharis are those who somehow or other could not manage to get married. Leaving that statement for what it is. But in our movement, we see that we are not limiting the worship of Lord Nrisimhadeva to the brahmacharis. Because we, besides seeing Lord Nrisimhadeva as a as being so compassionate because of his love for Prahlad, we see Lord Nrisimhadeva as compassionate for an additional reason, and that additional reason is that we see him as Nrisimha Chaitanya. We see that because this particular yuga is the yuga, that is the Kali Yuga, that is predominated by the yuga avatar Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see that everything has now that particular tinge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every deity carries some special element of that compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that element is also there. Therefore, in our movement, Grihasthas, everyone, worship Lord Nrisimhadeva, who is very kind and very merciful. So, I leave it at this. But I'm sure that this will continue, and one can, the more we can spend our time in worshipping the Lord, in hearing about the Lord, in making offerings to the Lord, the more we actually make this day and the next few days into a yajna dedicated to Lord Nrisimhadeva, the more we'll find that we will leave here in having permanently changed the relationship with the Lord. This kind of worship is not just a festival where we come for some inspiration and where we come and hope to go home with some renewed strength. No, we can take it a step further than that. We can actually hear permanently deepen our relationship with the Lord. So let that be the purpose of our being here for these days at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadeva in the association of the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sri Nasinga Chaturdasi Mahamahotsava Ki. Okay, questions. Don't run away yet. Hands up here.
Did someone ask?
Is it to me or to
me? To all.
To all. Yeah.
And it was wonderful explanations, and really, we hope, at least I hope, that we get some change in our life before we go from here. Maharaj, I would like to ask one question. This is regarding, like, Ravindra Swarupa Prabhu said, like, in his lecture, the intensity of Narasimha Dev, that when he cared, blood was everywhere, everything. It was very intensive. It was really, like, very intensive, heavy. So is there any particular lesson that we have to learn from it? When, I mean, God could have killed him, like, simply, like, simple way. But why he was so intense, rip off everything, where the intense times as garlands. I mean, it was really like a scary thing.
Okay.
So is there any lesson in that, or we just see it as a pastime?
Who would you like to answer first? May you please choose, otherwise it gets the whole thing from you. after you. So, I think that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke on Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave explanations to many verses, and to a number of verses, particularly to this Atmaram verse, and he explained that in 61 ways, 61 different ways. So, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu commented that actually every verse in the Bhagavatam has unlimited meanings. So, of course, we can go for obvious meanings to show the demons. Don't mess with the devotees. I mean, that's fair. Krishna cares. Krishna does care. It's not that he doesn't care about his devotees, so he's ready to show the demons. That's one obvious meaning. But there must be many unlimited meanings. But to see them, you have to A, be pure, and B, be very intelligent. So that's why I took the obvious answer.
Another answer is...
Yours is not working.
It's working, just switching.
There's a switch here. Okay.
Everything he does is lila. That means he's having a good time. When he came as a fish, it stated that he enjoyed swimming. When he came as Kurma, as the tortoise, he enjoyed having his back scratched by the mountain. You know, if you're a turtle and your back itches, you can't scratch it because there's a shell. When the mountain was rotating, they scratched his back. So he enjoyed being a lion. Taking exactly, you know, lion dharma, Simha dharma. And so all these are also his way of enjoying himself. That's another aspect. And of course, it makes an impression on us, doesn't it? Anything else?
No, you have answered very nicely.
Who's calling on people? We have a designated...
Hands. Bhakti Vikash, please bring the mic to Bhakti Vikash first. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, maybe a switch.
Especially in South India, there are many temples of Krishna Devi, including at Simhachalam, Lakshmi, Varaha, and Saraswami. The priests are either mostly grihasthas and some young boys who are not yet married but expected to become grihasthas. In Mayapur, the convention is that the Lord, who looks very fierce, but he's just pretending, it seems, It's gone my fault because the yoga group also mentioned he's worshipped only by Brahmacharis and sannyasis, and I believe that's because Atma Tapadu, who was instrumental in bringing Nrisimhadev, he was told that only Brahman, who's going to worship this deity, because he, Uva Nrisimha will take away all the material desires, so not the great.
I was involved in unloading the deity off the truck, and then having the deity placed on the altar, so sort of there, and I remember when Atma Tattva was establishing that in front of all of us.
Just a little comment.
Just look at hands and bring the mic to hands. Gurmanam, turn on the mic.
Hare Krishna. Okay, yeah, just to clarify for those who may not be aware, most of the Nrisimha deities that are worshipped in India are not Ugra, they're not angry. They're in various, they're not demonstrating their anger as.
So it was said that we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to destroy the material desires in our heart. And we see that when Lord Nrisimhadev was dealing with demoniac Hiranyakashipu, that the blood was dripping and the intestines were taken out. So is he going to do this to us also when he's going to remove the desires from our heart?
Only on a subtle level. There will be no scars.
Torture without leaving any marks.
Yeah, that's right.
But it can be as painful for us.
When we lose our material attachments, it does sometimes feel like death, but it's not, it's life.
just a sort of comment on that. I really liked what you said about the nails being effulgent. And was that Sachinanda Maharaj? The nails being effulgent, and you were quoting Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, how the Lord illumines our heart with the light of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's not a lot sweeter for the devotees than thinking of the nails as thunderbolts ripping apart our stone-like chest. You know, that the effulgent nails appear in our heart and just light up our heart. And Nisimhadev putting his hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, and even though Prahlad Maharaj was already pure, further relieving him like he was being bathed. And that was something that I could very much relate to. I thought, okay, I can go to Nrisimhadev and say that, you know. Mm-hmm. Would you? Because I don't really want to go to him and say, would you please rip out my intestines?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That doesn't really it doesn't inspire me very much. But, you know, could you put your hand on my head and wash me clean, and could your beautiful effulgent nails light up my heart? That was two of my big takeaways from all of your lectures and so on. As a comment.
Yeah. But just remember, he's not ripping out our intestines.
Oh, okay.
He's ripping the intestines of an invasive entity called material desires.
Okay.
It is not us.
Okay.
But one thing you should know is we are not our minds. There's good news that we're not our body, and it's even better news that we're not our minds.
Okay, well, Arvinda, going beyond philosophy for a moment, when I felt a bullet, plowing through me in slow motion and all that, it sort of ripped through my intestines. And after that, I recovered. And when I went before Lord Nrisimhadev, for the first time, I was a little bit afraid. I was. So I find this a very reassuring approach. I like it.
One way to learn.
Maharaj, you talked about the pillar of Hiranyakashipu in Hiranyaksha. He gave a very good fight to Lord Vishnu, it's given in the third canto, that they fought for a long time. And Srila Prabhupada also writes in the purport that Lord Vishnu enjoyed, or Lord Krishna enjoys fighting. So as a Hiranyakashipu, was there much fight between Hiranyakashipu and Narasimhadev, or she just killed him?
Yeah. There's this episode within the fight, which is described in the Bhagavatam, that he let go for some time the demon.
And the cat.
And the example is given like a cat who lets go of a mouse before it closes in for the final action. And if you have seen this analogy, I mean, we live here with a lot of mice, and we have seen the cat thoroughly enjoys it. And so in much the same way, the Lord did not want to finish it as quick as possible and going for the ultimate kill from the start on, but he really enjoyed the pastime of fighting for a longer amount of time. And there are different descriptions. The Bhagavatam will deals with this in one way, but there are other Brahmanda Puranas. Brahmanda Purana is there, and other Puranas who describe this in greater detail. There we feel that we can see really a lengthy fight. And I think the idea here is that the Lord enjoys and His Leela, and it would be wrong for us to put our categorization, you know, on the Lord, that, oh, why is he so, I mean, peace, the Lord should be peace-loving, you know, so on. His anger is actually for the benefit of the souls. The Jiva Goswami describes this in Paramatma Sandhava, that for the demons, the Lord's dealings are bitter because they are sick, and therefore the Lord treats them. And just like for a jaundiced patient, sugar is very tastes very bitter, but it cures the patient after some time. So when the demons come in contact with the Lord, his dealings, because of their demoniac nature, appears to be busy bitter, but it cures them really.
They're liberated, yeah.
They are liberated by this. And Jiva Goswami describes something in relationship to the devotees, how there are sometimes, it happens in the busyness of life, that Vaishnava aparadhas are committed. And he says that such devotees who commit Vaishnava aparadhas do not just become inimical towards devotees, but ultimately even inimical towards the Lord. So the Lord waits for some time, and then by his angry touch, it's described like this, he cures the Vaishnava aparadhi, and then again after some time he can appreciate devotees and the Lord. In other words, his apparent anger is
is nothing less than the surgeon taking a surgical instrument and just removing the disease. His anger towards the demon is like this. Ultimately, it can be seen like this. And his anger also towards us who are maybe doing something wrong, there is sometimes something, some heaviness is also visible in our lives. It is for curing. So what I want to please understand, the Lord, he should not be seen as the ultimate kung fu man of the Chinese film industry, you know, who is just, you know, creating violence. And therefore, he's always virtuous. He's majority of cases in South India, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has informed us, he's this mood is not highlighted there.
There's another aspect of this, another layer that we haven't even touched on. The fact is, Hiranyakashipu is a devotee. There are Jaya and Vijaya.
Yeah.
And nobody probably remarked somewhere, you could not have such an intimate connection with the Lord without being a devotee. But you wouldn't get that close to anybody except a devotee.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other level of understanding of this passage. We haven't even got there yet. It's there. You know it very well.
And I want to comment for a moment on this this cat and mouse play, because it's sort of, well, the Lord is enjoying the cat and mouse play, indicates almost cruelty within him, you know, having fun with a weaker entity. But obviously, the slowness of the process was to give Hiranyakasipu the opportunity to fully comprehend what was really going on, to get some realizations there. He was let go for a moment, showed his full prowess, but all to no avail. Helplessness before the Lord became, was brought out in that whole particular incident.
Maharaj, one more question. This is a little technical, I believe. When Hiranyakashipu went for his doing his austerities, Mother Kayadu was pregnant. So he went to the generals to do the austerities, and he did, it is mentioned that he did austerities for thousands of years. So after he returned, so Mother Kayadu delivered the baby and he was only 5 years old. So how to understand this? Like, he performed his austerities for thousands of years, but the child is only 5 years old.
Yeah, maybe it was on the heavenly higher planet, you know, time is moving slower.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
both are in the same plane, because he's doing the austerities for thousands of years?
Not necessarily in the same plane. There are different time scales on different planetary systems, like on the higher planetary systems, where many, we've heard many times that actually the pastimes took place on a higher planet. Possibly the austerities took place elsewhere, whatever may be, different time scales. That's one option offered by the Buddhist.
Tachinandan Swami mentioned the verse where Prahlad Maharaj prays that Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by one's own effort, neither by efforts of others, but only by the mercy of the pure devotees. So Srila Prabhupada says he shed so many gallons of blood just to make one devotee. And it seems to me that there's an effort on the side of the pure devotees to give Krishna consciousness, which would be an effort by other people. So how is that different from, you know, it says that it cannot be attained by the effort of others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way I understand it is not by ordinary people, but if the other person who makes an effort is a pure devotee, then by his kind effort, we can actually become Krishna conscious. It must refer to ordinary people, maybe teachers who teach
your mother, your father.
Yeah, they
can't.
But your brother can.
Right.
I know the story of one devotee. I don't want to mention his name. He came to hear to Nishinga Chaturthi, and then he went back, saw the video of his event, and then he forgot to the ghee in his kitchen, and the whole kitchen burned down. And then next time he came to Nishinga Chaturthi, and then he came back, and then he lost in the meantime all the money in the bank because of some speculation. And then he came again to Nishinga Chaturthi, and then some of his muscles were in ribs by dancing in the kirtan, and he had to go to the hospital. So then the next time he did one, come again. So after some time maybe I should go, and then nothing happened. So then he was very happy.
Special mercy.
Thank you for sharing that story with us.
I have a very simple question. If anybody wants to fast in the Nisimha Chaturthi, what is allowed to eat during this time? It is like a Nirjala Ekadashi till sunset, or is anything allowed to eat during this time?
The general rule is we fast. If there's some difficulty, Prabhupada, who didn't like fasting very much personally, said fruit is fasting. So if for some reason you really have to eat something, then you eat some fruit.
And then questions come how to break the fast, and some are more strict than others on breaking the fast, and some say, you know, it can be just Amakalpan Ekadasi Prasad, and some say no, it can only be roots, and it can only be such other things. But that kind of strictness is not coming from the Gaudiya Sampradaya, that comes from the smarter tradition, who are putting a lot of emphasis on the ritual, on the power of the ritual. Whereas the Gaudiyas, they put the spirit on the worship of the Lord, like I highlighted in my talk. The reason why we're fasting is so that we can spend the whole day just worshiping the Lord, rather than, you know, breaking for breakfast, recovering from it, breaking for lunch, recovering from that, you know, and in between having some ice cream and some snacks and so on and so on, you see. So the idea is worship the Lord. But it's not exactly that we are so worried, how are you going to break it now? Even like if anyone eats some grain, they're like, oh my God, you ate grains, you go to hell for that. Rather, it's not like so worried about such things. Because the essence is the absorption in the worship.
Question. Prahlad Maharaj gave us 9 processes of devotional service. And it's interesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also talked about 5 main processes, and he included sadhu sangha in that. But in 9 processes, it's not included, or is it?
Well, technically speaking, it is by meeting devotees or sadhu sangha that you start all these other processes. The sadhu needs to be the impulse giver, so that you do acts of bhakti. So he himself, Prahlad Maharaj in his lila, after meeting Narada Muni, was starting everything. That's one aspect. I have a would you like to comment on this?
what do you all think? We have at 12 o'clock the next item of the program, and Nrsimha Dev Abhishek, and maybe we should come to an end here.
Get ready. They
just would like to announce the Sankirtan scores to finalize.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Who?
I'm not sure. Krishna. Yeah.